You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Amen. Turn with me to Proverbs 15. We'll start there. We're teaching a series and have been for a few weeks. I'll probably wrap it up tonight. On joy. Joy, not happiness, but joy. Joy comes from inside. Happiness comes from outside. The word happy comes from happening. What is happening? Happenstance. And so you can be happy, you know, if things go right. Anybody can be happy. But joy comes from inside. And joy doesn't have anything to do with what's happening. So nothing can be going right in the natural, and you can still have joy. Because joy doesn't come from the outside, it comes from the inside. Hallelujah. And joy is, the joy of the Lord is our strength, according to Nehemiah 10. So we know also that we weaken ourselves, and we actually become less effective in life, in a marriage, and in a job, or just going through our day, when we allow depression to come in. Everybody say allow.
Allow.
Okay, allow depression to come in. Because we do allow it. I mean, it's, now, we're not bringing it on ourselves. I believe it's being offered to us. I believe the devil's trying to push us down and demean us and belittle us and ruin us because he hates us. I understand that. But he uses all kinds of outside forces and things to come into our life to depress us. And we have to fight it.
Amen.
And we're not, none of us are immune to the attack. We all are attacked, and you'll never stop being attacked. We live in a broken, fallen world. But you do have to fight that thing. And some days we do better than others. Are you with me? But God never meant for you to live with depression.
That's right.
Now, obviously, we're not designed where everything's always going to go right every day because we live in a broken, fallen world. I don't believe God sends trouble. He doesn't send tragedy. He doesn't send crisis. He sends the answer. Yeah. Yeah. But we are in this world, and this world's messed up, and that doesn't take a lot of snap to figure that one out. But joy comes from deep within. You can encourage it. You can stir it up. You can fire it up. You can fan the flames of joy, the passion of joy. Or you can damper it. You can still its cry, and you can shut it down. God wants us to turn it up.
Yeah.
In fact, Philippians 4:4 tells us, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known or seen by all men. The Lord is at hand. And that classic 6th verse, that 4th chapter Philippians says, "Be careful, fretful, anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, will keep guard your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus."
Amen.
So God wants us to rejoice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, if you're afflicted, this is interesting, in James the 5th chapter, the 13th verse says, "If any afflicted, let him pray." If there's any suffering, I think New King James says, let him pray. But it goes on and says, any merry, let him sing psalms. I like that. And so there are times where we're on top of it. We should be singing to the Lord at those times. And that would be singing because of joy or singing, you know, for joy. I sing because I'm happy, you know, that kind of deal. But I think also you can flip that coin. You can sing not just from joy, but you can sing unto joy or sing for joy. And I think that's where we miss it a lot of times is you know, we kind of whistle and we sing when we're feeling good, but boy, when we're down, we don't. We want to listen to blues music.
Amen.
And pet that devil, you know, and make it worse. And go over the negative, accentuate the negative instead of the positive. Hello.
Amen.
I'm dating myself here. You know that old song. My parents used to listen to it. But anyway, the word's very plain that you can activate some things. You can cooperate with God. You can change the environment. You can change the atmosphere. You can change your destiny, your future. You have a part to play.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And you can be joyful. Joy doesn't come from the outside. It comes from the inside. We've been teaching along these lines that joy comes from God's Word. Jesus said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that your joy may be full, and that my joy might remain in you." So God's Word, these things, He spoke to us so that our joy may be full and that His joy may remain in us.
Amen.
Well, now, you got to get a hold of these things.
Yeah.
You're going to have to, it's a matter of aim and focus, really. You have to aim for what God says, focusing on what God says instead of the negative. It may look bad. You may have heard every bad report in the world, but God's not dead, and He loves you, and He's for you, and you can come out of this mess, hallelujah, and you can have joy.
Hallelujah.
In the midst of the pain, in the midst of the suffering, you can. So You know, the result of God's Word, the right response to God's Word, is joy. These are things that we've been sharing, you know, about full joy and a joy from the Word and the right response to God's Word. God's serious about you having joy. Psalm 16:11, you know, says, "In His presence is fullness of joy and life forevermore." And when you get to heaven, you're going to enter into the joy of the Lord. So God's really serious about joy.
Yes.
So smile. Look like you're having a good time at least. He wants you to rejoice. He wants you to have joy. He doesn't like it when you're depressed anymore, and you like it when you're depressed. He's not trying to squash you and, you know, and form you and mold you and make you through depression.
Amen.
God forms, molds, and makes us through His Word and through obedience to His Word. It's not the suffering in life, the pain in life, that cause us to be better people. It's the fight in the pain. It's overcoming the suffering that gives us character. It's standing and not quitting. It's believing God and not giving in that causes us to be strong and develop character in our life.
Yes.
Often people misappropriate that. They say, "Well, all this pain and all this depression is making me better." No, not if you give up, it won't. Not if you give in, it won't. If you fight it and you get a hold of the Word, you'll come out better, because what the devil meant for bad, God will get good out of. But make no mistake about it, the devil did not intend to make you a better person. He's trying to kill you.
That's right.
And get you to curse God and die.
That's right.
Don't do it. You run to God. Cry out to God. Amen. And call on God and get some strength. And give that devil a black eye.
Yes.
And let God get some glory. God gets no glory out of your pain or suffering. He gets glory out of your deliverance.
That's right.
He gets glory out of you making it. He gets glory out of your rejoicing. Not out of the thing that's happening. So you know, I think the Bible is very plain. It talks a lot about singing, a lot about rejoicing. If there's any merry, let them sing songs. Of course, James 5:13 tells us that. We also know, the Bible tells us, Ephesians 5:18 says, what does Ephesians 5:18 says? Yeah, it says, be not drunk with wine, where there's excess. Be ye filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody of the Lord. Singing and making melody of the Lord. I love that. So, you know, God doesn't mind you being tipsy, but be tipsy with the Holy Ghost.
What?
Don't get your influence from wine. Get your influence from the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you how you can take another drink of the Holy Spirit. You can start singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Be not drunk with wine where there's excess. I think the Phillips translation says, don't get your influence from wine, but get your influence from the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
But be not drunk with wine where there's excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. That's okay. I mean, that's not just a quirk. That's not a twitch that you've got. You know, the guy's always singing when he's walking around playing or working or whatever. He's always singing. Well, actually, that's a good thing. David meditated all the time.
Yes, he did.
I mean, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of the sinner, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, Psalms 1. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. Meditate means to talk. It means to speak, not just to think. It means to say, to speak. It's translated that way many times. It's the Greek word hagah. And he says, in his law doth he meditate, talk day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And his leaf also shall not wither. He'll bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatever he does will prosper. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Glory. So I could see David just singing and worshiping. The Psalms were just that. They were songs. S-O-N-G-S. The P-S-A-L-M-S were the S-O-N-G-S's of the Old Testament, Old Covenant. And I believe that's what James was saying when he said, let them sing psalms.
Amen.
They actually sang those psalms. I know at Lakewood, in the early days of Lakewood, and Brent and I were going there back before Joel, when his dad was Pastor John, was the pastor, we used to sing right out of the Bible. And we sang out of the King James hymnal. And the song leader there would say, oh, if you would turn with me to Psalms. And we learned those songs. In fact, Psalms 1 was a psalm. We sang it. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Oh, glory, blessed is the man that walketh not. And we'd sing that song over and over. But it was right, we just sang right out of the Bible. We'd take those psalms and sing them. Hey, that's better than Chevrolet, the heartbeat of America. You know those little ditties you get stuck in your head from watching commercials all the time? Wouldn't it be great to get God's Word stuck in your head? And you're walking along and all of a sudden it just comes to you? A lot of times I'm quoting a verse and I'm thinking of the song. We sang so many of those verses that I will be thinking of the song that went with that verse that we sang. And sometimes it's hard to go through a modern translation because I'm used to those old King James songs that we used to sing. Like that, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. We used to sing that one. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Y'all remember that song? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And I don't remember the rest of it, but I know that part right there. So you can stir up joy. That's what I'm saying. And it's a scriptural principle to do so. When you're feeling down, when you're down the lowest, shout the loudest. In fact, singing and shouting and hollering, I'm telling you what, that'll get you in faith.
Amen.
Get you in joy. That's what actually happened in Abraham's case. You know, in Romans 4, 18, it says, it goes 18, 19, and 20, it talks about his faith. 17th verse says, God, who calls the things that be not as though they are, quickens the dead, makes a dead lie, and calls the things that be not as though they were. It said Abraham believed him. And it goes on and says this. It says he was strengthened in faith. King James says he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. New King James says he was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. I love that. Because actually he got stronger the more he gave glory. The more he worshiped. The more he sang to the Lord.
That's right.
These songs are meant to get inside you and become a part of you. They're meant to get so much in you that you could actually take a Christian out of a Christian environment, but you can't take the Christian out of the inside of the Christian. Does that make sense? You can take the boy out of the country, can't take the country out of the boy. You can get out in the world where you're not in a Christian environment. You're working, you're doing whatever you do, you know, but you cannot get this out of you because it's in you.
It's true.
Amen? And it just comes when you need it. It comes up and when you're worshiping. It comes up when you're singing. And you ought to develop a time of worship, a time of singing the Word. Because it'll bring joy. Proverbs 15, it says this in the 15th verse. It says, all the days of the afflicted are evil, but he is of a merry heart and has a continual feast. Notice the difference in the outcome of your attitude in life. Proverbs 15:15. I'm trying to get there, y'all. I'm just quoting it to you. All the days of the afflicted are evil. In other words, that's an attitude that causes you to experience that in your life. You'll just have a miserable life if you have a miserable attitude. You can change your life by changing your attitude. Amen? He that is of a merry heart, 15th verse, but he's of a merry heart has a continual feast. Everybody say heart. Okay, that's inside. Merry heart. You have a continual... Everybody say continual feast.
Continual feast.
All right. That's not just every once in a while. Well, I got good days and bad days. No, that's continual feast. It's a continual feast. Amen?
Amen.
And where does it come from? It comes from what's happening. No, it doesn't. It comes from a merry heart. A merry heart causes a continual feast. Not everything that's happening in life, but a merry heart brings that. Woo!
Amen.
So I can change my life by changing the inside of me, changing my outlook, changing my faith, my expectations. Have a merry heart, a merry heart, a merry heart. And then I quoted that in James 5:13 a couple times already. But he that is of merry heart, let him sing psalms.
Hallelujah.
Have you want a merry heart?
Amen.
I want a merry heart. Well, you ought to sing psalms. You ought to sing praises. In fact, that's not just for the joy you have. That is for the joy you're wanting to get.
Amen.
You can sing your way out of depression. You can sing your way out of pain. You sing your way out of suffering. You sing your way out of a feeling of uselessness and purpose, not having a purpose. Purposelessness. Yeah, do that about 10 times. That'll get you. Yeah. And then if you juncture that with Psalm 17, of course, we all know some of these verses. Proverbs 17, verse 22. A merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. You know, we all fight different things in life. And depression is something that you need to fight. You don't need to put up with it. You don't need to pet that devil. You don't need to just, you know, and the way you put up with it is continually talk about it. Continually talk about how things are going wrong. Talk about how you're not, life's not fair. And talk about how nothing's going your way. You know, I had a rough day today in the natural. Didn't seem like everything was going right, you know. But it doesn't change God, and it doesn't change His Word, and it doesn't change who I am. And what happens is not who I am. You know, even when you fail, failure is an event, not a person. And even when you fall on hard times, you know, everybody's falling on hard times. There's a multitude of reasons why that happens, but that doesn't mean that you're a loser and a failure. You have reason to rejoice. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You ought to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice.
Amen.
That's what Paul says. And even today, yeah, things are just not going right for me today. I was going to leave early, you know, and I got ready for church. And Brenda comes in, I don't know, about after 5, comes in pretty late. And of course, I didn't have the right shirt on. Is that a surprise? Because I picked it out myself. You know, I thought it looked good. She says, no, you're not wearing that. I said, well, honey, I'm trying to get to the office. Well, let me go get you another. So she gets me another shirt, and I put it on. So I jump in the church van because my truck's broke down. And I'd picked the van up, and I needed to run it anyway, so I had it out there. And so I drove out to we have an above-ground pool, and I put another light bulb in it because I've got this pump with a little housing around it to keep it warm in the cold weather. So I changed the light bulb, got in the van, I drove across the back of the pool, and the van stuck in a backyard. So I got out of the van and walked back up to the house and said, well, honey, I'm going with you to church. And I didn't get here early, you know. We didn't get here late. We got here, you know, a little early. But that has nothing to do with God and His Word, nothing to do with your future and your destiny. Maybe everything. I've had days where every single thing seemed to go wrong that day. But you know, God didn't go wrong. He's still around. He's still alive. His Word's still true. You're still saved. You're still going to heaven. Hallelujah.
Yes, that's right. Man.
You get over this, man. This is just a day. It'll pass. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me.
Right.
You may go through, but you're not going to die in that valley. You're going to come out the other side. Hallelujah.
That's right.
Amen. And so you need to learn to rejoice in everything, not for everything. That's been mistaught. You hear a lot of preachers say that, and I are one. But people will say, well, I don't know what's going wrong in your life, but praise God for it. No, don't praise God for it. Praise God in spite of it.
Right.
Praise God that He's bigger than this. Praise God that you got more going on than this, that you can come out of this and you can survive this, and you're going to be better. You're going to come out better than this. Nowhere in the Bible does it tell you to praise God for bad things. Bad things don't come from God. Good things come from God. You're to praise God for who He is and what He does. I mean, that's like me thanking Mo for something, you know, that Chris did or a friend did. Why would I thank him for something they did?
Right.
Why are you thanking God for what the devil did?
That's right.
If you feel compelled to thank somebody, go thank the devil for your bad day.
Right.
I don't think you ought to do that, but I'm just saying if you just have to thank someone for all the tragedy and pain in your life, then go thank the devil. But I would say don't thank the devil.
No.
Come against the devil.
That's right.
And thank God for the hope and the help and the comfort and the answer. Amen. And rejoice.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. Rejoice in the Lord. Turn over to Isaiah. Isaiah. Isaiah 51. Hallelujah. Notice what it says here in the... Now, see, this is real common. Rejoicing, singing, praising God is real common. You know, they sang a hymn after what we call the Lord's Supper, the upper room. When they got through, they sang a hymn. They were singing and worshiping, and it was just a very, very common practice of the early church. and in the Old and New Testament. It says here in the Isaiah talking about being redeemed. How many of you know we're redeemed?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Notice the 11th verse. It says, "So the ransomed of the Lord shall return," or "the redeemed of the Lord shall return," King James Version said, "and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy, joy on their head." See, when we come into Zion, the church comes into heaven, comes into the presence of God, we're going to come into joy. "And they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away." Hallelujah. See, God's all about joy. Sorrow and sighing is not what God's about. It's not what He does. But one way we identify with joy, and one way we activate that joy and fan the flames of joy, is singing. Worshiping. You know, in fact, this is a song. This is, we used to sing this at Lakewood. The King James Version. Now, I have to look away from this because this is a new King James and it's got it all backwards. It turns it around for me. But it goes, "Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. An everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. An everlasting joy shall be upon their head." Hallelujah. But we'd take that and just sing that. That's what's going to happen to us. We're going to come into heaven singing. Might as well get used to it here. Amen.
Amen.
And as we sing and as we worship, we're going to activate that joy. We won't just do it because we're merry. We'll do it to become merry. We won't do it just because we are experiencing joy, but we're doing it to experience joy. You can sing your way out of depression. You can shout your way out of doubt. You know, it comes down to, many times I am confessing my faith. Sometimes I'm confessing unto faith. I'm stirring myself to believe. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word. So maybe sometimes I'm there in faith and I'm saying what I really believe, and sometimes I'm saying it so I will believe it. There's confession of faith. There's confession unto faith. There's worship and there's rejoicing because of joy that I am experiencing. And then there's worship and rejoicing to experience that joy, to get out of the funk, you know, to get out of the brown study that I'm in, that I've fallen into. See, laughter is a leap. You got to leap out. You got to jump out of that mess. Don't lay down there and die. Don't close that closet door and turn that light out and put on that blues record. Hello. Don't answer the phone. Don't answer the door. Don't talk to anybody. Are you with me?
That's right. Amen.
So, he says, "The redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. Everlasting joy shall be upon their head, and they shall obtain gladness and joy. And sorrow and sighing shall flee away." Notice the 12th, 13th verse. I am he who comforts you. Who are you that you should be afraid of a man who would die? Wow. Or of the Son of Man who will be made like grass. We're so afraid of people and things that happen to us and people that seemingly have control over us. Who are we to be afraid of a man that would die? God is the God that comforts us. Ought to be rejoicing. Amen. And 13th verse, "You forget the Lord your Maker who stretched out the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth. You have feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor when he was prepared to destroy." And where is the fury of the oppressor? Man, God's bigger than the devil. Amen. We don't need to fear. We need to rejoice. Turn to Jeremiah 31. Singing songs of joy. Jeremiah 31. Man, get these songs down. I mean, get these words down. Get these songs we sing. That's why we make a big deal out of the songs we sing here, that they're scriptural. You know, some songs are just not that scriptural. They're religious, but they're not scriptural. Even some of the old hymns, some of them were very scriptural. Some of them weren't. And so you just have to kind of look at and make sure you're not just singing it because grandma sang it, or you're singing it because the Word of God agrees with it. Hello. Because what you're singing and what you're worshiping, that's creating a whole environment for you, a whole atmosphere for you. And you can change the atmosphere. Ooh, hallelujah. Jeremiah, notice what it says here in 31st chapter. Boy, that's a great chapter too. Awesome chapter. With everlasting love, he's loved you. Jeremiah 31:3. But notice again in the 11th verse, when he talks about being redeemed. We just read over there in Isaiah 51 about the redeemed. In Jeremiah 31, verse 11, "For the Lord has redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hand of one stronger than he." That sound like your story? All of us have been redeemed from a hand that's stronger than us. We've been redeemed from sin. We've been redeemed from hell. We've been ransomed. We've been paid for. And God did it. Oftentimes, we run across situations that are out of our control in the natural, that seemingly are beyond us and stronger than us in the natural, but God delights in redeeming and ransoming us and delivering us from the hand that's stronger than us. Don't you ever feel boxed in, helpless, hopeless. God who saved you is the God who will deliver you from this too. Amen? And he says in the 12th verse, "Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, streaming to the goodness of the Lord." It's almost like there's a pattern here that you can sing your way into the goodness of the Lord. You know, the Bible says, Psalms 100, says, "Come into his presence with thanksgiving and his courts with praise." Where is God? Waiting for you to come in his presence with singing. You catching it? "Well, I just don't sense him. I'm just so down." Well, start singing as best you can. Make a joyful noise, even if it's out of tune. Start up. Start worshiping. What do you know? What Christian songs do you know? What hymns do you know? What maybe psalms that you, I don't know. Start singing, start worshiping. Something positive, something from the words, praising God, worshiping God. Just that one little thing we did at the end. "This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long." I mean, that just gets in you. You keep that going. It just builds up and all. It takes you to another level. That's what we're talking about, getting yourself to another level. Getting out of that funk, getting out of that you know, that depression that's trying to get you, that purpose. Oh, there's that word again. You know, going over, okay? Going over, not under. And he says, "Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, streaming to the goodness of the Lord for wheat and new wine and oil, for the young of the flock and the herd, for their soul shall be like a well-watered garden. They shall sorrow no more at all." 13th verse. "Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, and the young men and the old men together. For I will turn their mourning or weeping or crying to joy, and I will comfort them and make them rejoice rather than sorrow."
Yes, amen.
Man, that's good. That's a song we used to sing too, incidentally. In fact, that's kind of had a Jewish beat to it. Anybody remember that song? Yeah. It went, "Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, both young men and old men together. La, 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 la." And that's the way it went. "And I will turn their mourning into joy. Dum, dum, dum. And I will comfort them. And they shall rejoice, rejoice, rejoice in their sorrow. And they shall rejoice." Oh, come on, guys. Y'all remember that song? Okay. I'm laying my whole life out before you here tonight. I'm being as transparent. I never do this. I mean, once every few years I get up here and, you know, come on. The least you could do is act like you're enjoying it instead of that look. But when you think about it, that's what they did. They were singing, they were dancing, they were rejoicing. Maybe it wasn't normal, you know, for the world, but it was normal for God's people.
Amen.
And it should be normal for us.
That's right.
Amen. Hallelujah. In fact, of course, this was because they were redeemed. Look at Habakkuk. Habakkuk gives us an account when things weren't going right. And yet, Habakkuk decided he was going to shout, he was going to rejoice. Habakkuk, 3rd chapter. Habakkuk. You just, when you get to heaven, you ask him what his name is. I don't know. Habakkuk, the third chapter. Notice this in the 17th verse. This is good. Now see, all these verses have to do with singing and rejoicing for joy. Either because you have it or you're trying to get it. In this case, he's rejoicing to get it. He's singing to get joy. Not just because he has it, like James 5:13. But he's singing to get it. Notice in the 17th verse, though the fig tree may not blossom. It's not going right. Are you with me? Nor the fruit be in the vines. Mr. Bluebird's not on your shoulder, okay? You're not singing zippity-doo-dah, zippity-a. My oh my, things are not going your way. Though the labor of the olive fail, in the fields yield no meat.
Sing it.
Hmm. Though the flock be cut off from the fold, there be no herd in the stall. Yet, I'll rejoice for these things? No. I'll rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation.
Amen.
The Lord God is my strength.
Yes.
He will make my feet like deer's feet or hind's feet. He'll make me walk on high hills. We used to sing this, and it goes, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither fruit be in the vine, the labor of the olive fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock be cut off from the fold, there shall be no herd in the stalls, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. Yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. Hallelujah. That's what we've got to get to. We've got to get to that point where we're rejoicing. No matter what's happening, joy comes from inside. It doesn't come from the outside. And we can actually change the outside from the inside. If we'll start living from the inside out instead of the outside in, our lives will be totally different. This is not a song I'm turning to. I just want to tell you ahead of time so you're not expecting me to break out into song here. But there are just tons of others. I'm just thinking, they're going through my head. You know, I'm thinking of Psalm, was it Psalm 30:11, where it says, Thou hast turned my mourning into dancing for me. Thou hast put off my sackcloth. Thou hast turned my mourning into dancing for me. And Thou hast girded me with gladness to the end that my glory may sing praise unto Thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, how's the rest of it go? I will sing praise unto Thee forever. And that's just right out of it. Of course, a lot of thus and thous and these, that's King James. King James hymnal. But we used to sing that one all the time. You're in mourning, you're in weeping. Thou hast turned my mourning into dancing for me. Thou hast put off my sackcloth. Think about those words. Thou hast turned my mourning into dancing for me. Thou hast girded me with gladness. To the end that my glory may sing praise unto Thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will sing praise unto Thee forever. Hallelujah. See, that's an attitude that comes from the inside. And he puts off the sackcloth, puts on gladness, puts on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That's what the Bible says. Notice Isaiah 12. I'll wrap this up. Hallelujah. Y'all enjoy it while you can. I'm not often like this. So. Isaiah 12. I've referred to this scripture in this series on joy. And, of course, what we're talking about tonight is singing songs of joy. Now, you know, obviously you may not know those songs I'm singing. I'm just saying we ought to be singing Christian songs. We ought to be singing songs of deliverance, songs of victory. Sing our way into going over. Shout our way out of depression. Amen. Down the lowest, shout the loudest. Hallelujah. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't stop. Isaiah 12 talks about God's anger turning. And God's anger had to do with people's sin. All through the Scripture, it's real plain, even the Old Testament, if you take it in context. God doesn't just get up mad. What happens is, it's not the anger or the wrath of God that destroys them. It's their sin that destroys them. It's the judgment that comes on them. And that's real plain. And in fact, I was just reading Ezekiel today about how that why would you sin and bring this on yourself when God doesn't want you to sin and takes no pleasure in the destruction of the wicked? He takes no pleasure in that. He doesn't want people to go through pain. But it's just judgment. It's not Him trying to do something to you. It's your sin bringing it on you.
That's right.
And what's wrong with the world is the sin of Adam. I mean, come on. All tragedy, all pain, all evil, all sickness comes from sin. It didn't come necessarily from yours, but it definitely came from Adam's. some 6,000 years ago, he put this world in sin, and we're reaping the benefit or the repercussions of his sin, even, in this world. But anyway, so it says here, 12th chapter, 1st verse, in that day you will say, O Lord, I praise thee. I will praise thee, though you were angry with me, your anger is turned away, and you comfort me. And obviously, in context, you read this, because they repented. And anybody repents, God will comfort, no question. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yah, or Yahweh, the Lord, is my strength and song. Everybody say song.
Song.
He has also become my salvation. Hallelujah. Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation.
Praise God.
Wow. I've quoted that on this series, but I don't know if we really think about that. How do we dip into the wells of deliverance? Wells, plural, I love that. There's a well of healing. There's a well of peace. There's a well of prosperity. There's a well of comfort. There's a well of courage. There's a well of strength. There are all kinds of wells. How do I dip in them? Joy. With joy. With joy, you will dip into them. If you stay depressed, if you stay negative, if you never do repent of your negative talking, and we all get hit and sucker punch. We all get down. Stay with me. It happens. I'm not condemning anybody because I've been there and you've been there. We've all said things negative, but you've got to repent of that and turn it back around and start saying what God says and start rejoicing in the victory and the promise of God's Word. And in so doing, you all of a sudden have a bucket now to dip deliverance out of the well of healing, the well of prosperity, the well of peace. And your joy, your attitude, your praise, your worship, your singing, your joy will give you something to dip with. I think God's got deliverance for us in many, many cases, in all cases, really, but we don't have a bucket. And the bucket is rejoicing and singing and praising and thanking Him. And all of a sudden we fill up. We fill up from this well of salvation through our joy. Oh man, that's good stuff. Y'all getting this? Okay. Therefore, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation, and in that day you will say, praise the Lord, call upon His name, declare His deeds among the people, make mention that His name is exalted, sing to the Lord, for He has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out, shout, O inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in your midst. Man, look at that, cry out, shout, sing. Make known His deeds. See, we need to get with it. Amen?
Amen.
We need to get with it in our rejoicing in God and thanking Him and praising Him for His goodness and His presence and His promises and serving Him with gladness. You know, Deuteronomy 28 verse 47 says, the curse came upon them because they did not serve the Lord with gladness and joy for the abundance of all things. Wow. We just bury ourselves in essence. The more depressed we get, the more negative we get, the more down we get, we just bury ourselves and we turn the lights out and we shut the doors and we pull the plug out on the phone and we're just burying ourselves. And God's saying, wake up! He's saying, rejoice in me. And strength comes because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And deliverance comes. Now we've got a bucket to get something with.
Yes. Yes.
And we can dip into that well of salvation. We can come out of this thing. Help somebody, bless somebody, call somebody, pray for somebody. I tell you, when you're down, go help somebody.
Yep.
Break out of that thing. Break it. I mean, it's the best thing you can do. Hallelujah. I tell you, I love to preach and teach. It keeps me straight. Keeps me on top. I shudder to think if I weren't able to do this, didn't have this venue or this avenue of stirring myself up. Why? You had no idea what a wreck of a person, a shell of a man I'd be. If I weren't in the ministry, it keeps me kind of high strung anyway, in a good way. Hello. So I get here, I get to minister, and it stirs me because I'm sharing, I'm helping, I'm blessing, I'm thinking about you, and I'm thinking about encouraging you, I'm thinking about helping you, I'm thinking about you getting out of something in your life and finding answers and help and hope. And you know what? That helps me. That stirs me. That encourages me.
Yes.
You just cannot help others without getting helped yourself. But learn to rejoice. Amen. He that's married, let him sing songs. Well, I'd flip that with the rest of these verses because it goes both ways. I'd say if you're not married, sing psalms.
Right.
So you can get married. And so the joy of the Lord can be your strength.